This is the school board meeting for... This is the school board meeting held on April 4th, 2007 at Cottonwood Elementary School in Orangeville, Utah, starting at 7 p.m.
We would like to welcome you to this board meeting. We're at Cottonwood Elementary, and we are excusing you where from our meeting tonight. We have Sam Singleton, Murray Johnson, and Roy Pat, myself, Laura Johansson, and Kirk Sitru, the superintendent, and Jared Black, business administrator. We will begin today with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we will go ahead and start with the consent items, the warrants, the minutes, and the monthly financial report for March. Are there any questions or discussions that haven't been cleared up, or if there aren't any, but a motion is in order?
I move that we accept them.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? We'll now have the swimming pool agreement.
This particular item, we did not get the agreements in time for the meeting. I do have a rough draft, which is basically the same thing that I gave them a year ago. So I think as far as an action item, that needs to be tabled until the next meeting, but I would like to have Mr. Grant give a report, a brief report on. He had a meeting yesterday with the committee of the county, and he can probably bring it tabled. But as far as any action items, I would ask someone to make a motion to table this action item until next meeting.
Okay.
I'll move so.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Do you want to do that report now?
Whatever you would like, I would be.
Yeah, let's go ahead.
Go ahead then.
I did bring a large copy of who was there.
Okay.
I one, but I do have some. We did meet as a committee yesterday, a large committee, and then we split into two different groups. We looked at contractors. They were submitted bids yesterday. We did have five different companies submit bids. We did narrow it down. It cannot be announced until open board meeting of the city or county. So, did I give you two?
Didn't give me one.
Just more. Pretty is fairly well along to the point where yesterday, when we split into two committees, one committee was selecting all the toys, the colors, things like that for the pool. Yours may be just a tad different than mine in order, and I hope I guess you've got the right one. The latest one looks like this. This would be the west side.
Okay.
And so this would be the east side. This would be the north, down here where the doors are to the area. And this is south towards the elementary.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. For references. It's kind of on this one. Probably easier to see what it looks like. Swimming pool, locker room. We have adjusted the size of locker rooms. I think they had 168 lockers in each men's and women's locker room. So that was not necessary, so we shrunk those down a little bit. We're going to enlarge the lobby area. There'll also be a game room someplace up in here. And currently, well, not currently, our design is the whole south and east wall will be glass.
Oh, really?
They say there's no thermal difference in the swimming pool with keeping it warm, keeping it heated, and the cost is not much more, and it will just give you a beautiful view out of that area. So it will be a glass wall for this little piece of north all the way.
It'll be a ball of concrete hills out front.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at a couple of very large folding bifold doors here, so that when you open, if they can be opened in the summertime, so it's a big area that can walk between the two pits. The party room, you see, most of it has not changed, just the layout of it. It used to be flipped all around. Deep end will be down here towards the men's area, starting blocks, etc. 1 meter diving board in the shallow end with area to walk in at the other end. With a handicap, if you wonder what this is, that's a handicap ramp or lift to let handicap people in and out of the wheelchair. Yes, we do go up
there. No
liability, definitely. Yeah, no liability. There was no extra cost to the cabin.
But the ceiling height, didn't that make a difference?
It went a little bit higher, but not enough to make any
okay.
major difference.
Was it a 1 meter?
It was 1 meter off, it's just 3 feet off of the wall.
Okay.
So you don't have to be scared.
Yeah,
I like 3 meters.
12 foot 3 inches in the center and the deep end. 3 feet on the end. We finally got talked into 3 feet after arguing 4 feet back and forth. But they said 3 feet is much better and better for an all round.
Well, this stuff 3.5 feet.
It's actually 3 feet. 3 feet 6 inches.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, well, I think it's 3 feet. Yeah, that's right. Jet jumped after that. Looks like a very nice design. I think they done some. This was actually 2 meetings ago. Copies yesterday, they didn't bring any real updated copies. So things have been redesigned, will be redesigned a little bit. Outside pool, very large. A big, nice toy in the middle. You see slides, there's interactive water, shooting things off of it. The three things around the pool on the circle is spray kind of units that you can play in and things like that. It is a zero entrance on the kiddie pool, or not the kiddie pool, but the outside pool. So you just walk right in the water and walk right on down very gently. The far side is a handicap ramp for access with wheelchairs that they can get into and out of the pool also. We did put in a lazy river. That's what the little arrows are around there. So there will be a current that you can either, if you're an adult, walk against. They say that's very popular for people to walk against for exercise. And then the bubble deck for people to sit down, and it will kind of give you a whirlpool effect.
That's in the center?
Yeah, that's this little U-shaped kind of thing right there. And then the big slides, they have not come up the exact configuration yet, but it'll be at least 3 turns, they said yesterday, and it'll probably be about 21 feet in the air. So it will be a very nice circle tube coming down. It will be an enclosed tube. Enclosed tubes are much cheaper than open tubes. All of the bids yesterday that we received, preliminary bids from companies, did come in under $5 million. I think they do have $5.5 million to work with, so there is coverage there for it. Kind of the design for the outside, as you can see, you're wondering the scale. This is my first question to them when I asked. With this picture here, there are 560 feet from the edge of the parking lot to the driveway on the east side, and depth-wise runs, what did I write, 400 feet. From parking lot down. So
as we look at the property line and what they had written into the quitclaim deed, there's not enough property left on any side for you to do much with. So we really feel like that in this whole agreement they ought to just take the property and keep it up, and so you don't have to, because there's nothing there that you can do with it.
This over here,
building lots, you can't.
Yeah.
It pretty well takes it up.
This is the wash over here, and fence line somewhere over here. They're going to move it. We'd like to move it, or they would, as close to that area as possible. I did hear yesterday they're taking this ditch in and closing it, so it will not be an open ditch. Mm. The city did agree for as much as they can do, not immediately, but if we are able to, if we are willing to donate, they will turn it into a park. The surrounding property and use that property for the park. Mm-hmm. Neil did tell me they have a gentleman in the subdivision who wants to donate some money and build a park up in that area anyway. He suggested maybe he work on this project, which would be fantastic. Because right now they'll probably lose the park downtown by the city hall with the rebuilding of the state center. So, which is taking place here in the next few years. Questions I can answer for you. That's where we are at. They are hoping to break ground and start construction in June. They hope to open the pool June 1 of 2008.
The only change in the agreement, just glancing at it, that I could see is that they do not want the school district using the pool for fundraising. I think that we need to make sure that we can charge gate receipts for High School Activity Association sanctioned meets to help support a swimming program, but I don't see any need for us to go over there and use the pool and charge admission to raise money. That's not our place.
Right.
But we certainly ought to be able to get gate receipts for meets in order to help fund the program. Beyond that, I don't think there's any valid reason for us to raise money.
Right.
What about the parking lot?
The agreement, in the agreement, if they have written in there the 86,000. We talked about 86 or 87, but they've written 86,000 in there from the school district. And that's the cap. I honestly think it's going to cost much more than that.
It's going to cost a lot more.
But that's the max.
But they have, if it's left, the bid's left, they may have other money to put
in. If it's more, yes, they will have. Yeah. They have some additional. That's why they're trying to keep it.
That's the maximum that the board has committed to. In the agreement, they've written 86, so that's the max. And I think it's going to cost much more than that.
It will just be basically concrete or blacktop with some concrete around it. And that's all we wanted. We didn't want anything more than that. Grass. There will be some grass down around the outside school when it's all finished. Probably it will all be concrete, color concrete, and swirled through here. This side will have some grass between it and the fence, so it will be a very nice, attractive place to build a party. And they're putting in outside power around this school, so you can have dances, run it for a dance or something, and still have music and enjoy the school. And plus, they'll have some lights up for outside nighttime.
Where's the school again?
School?
Yeah.
If you come down.
If
you come down this road, heading this way, you'll come out right by the old Johansson house and Dick Fielder's home over on Center Street.
Okay.
And our parking lot just sits at the kitty corner right there. So it's only block and a half, 2 blocks max to walk from Emily High School. For elementary and Gas of L, it's through the back gate.
Thanks.
Okay, you're welcome.
Good to know, and we'll wait to get the agreement. We get that ahead of time. We should get it before board meeting. I think we'd like to look over
that. Yeah, I think that's our plan.
Okay.
We'll get the agreement retyped. We'll make a few minor changes if necessary. What we don't have, we just got them late yesterday. I think we got a copy of the quick claim deed, but we don't have it. We need to get the agreement so you can look at it. So we'll table it till next meeting.
Okay.
And I did ask you a question. What about the old pool in Castle Bell? It is closed and will not ever open.
Not going to open again. The next item we have are personnel actions, names for approval.
I have two names. Of course, we're in the middle of doing a lot of staffing right now, but for this meeting, I have two names in the lunch program to replace people who have retired. Recommending V. Guyman as lunch manager at Huntington Elementary School and Terry Velotis. She's a 6.5-hour worker, work between Santa Fe and Farron School. So I recommend the board approve those names for those positions.
So moved.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, we need an asbestos abatement project in Green River. Looks like there's some
bids. What's that again? Asbestos?
Asbestos abatement, sorry. Looks like we have some bids in front of us we haven't seen before.
Yeah, we gave you, the bid opening was just yesterday, so Leroy and Irene arranged a walkthrough, and they had four groups come, and all four groups submitted a bid. The part I'd like to focus your attention on is just the total bid amount. We do have two, we had them bid two separate projects, Bookless Elementary for the 8,500 square feet, and Green River High School for the 6,000 square feet, and also a total bid amount. And we do want to do both of those projects this summer on approval. And the quality of work is, that's required is the same for all of them. They have to comply with federal and state guidelines. And so the bid that we would like to recommend for approval is from Fresh Air Environmental for $32,780. Are there any questions?
What does that do for us at Green River High and Bookcliff as far as with asbestos?
Getting some technology access without Bookcliff, we have some assumed in the doors. The fire-rated doors, there is some assumed in that. It's never been checked because we don't want to cut a hole in the door to check and make sure. There is some of the fire doors that is assumed or has possibly could have asbestos. As far as the floor, the according to our records, that would eliminate all of the asbestos in the floor tile in both schools. Which is our goal eventually, to get rid of all the asbestos within the district.
Please. How do these bids compare to other years? Are they going up? Is it about?
I estimated it a little higher than what the low bid came in. Not much, but a little bit higher.
Okay.
And I've done that by comparing with the bids from last year. Fresh Air was the one contractor last year that did the work for us. Mm-hmm. And they are only just within pennies of what they were last year.
Okay, good.
And they did an all right job?
They did a good job. I had a little problem with them at first. Just had to kind of keep a little bit closer eye on them than I did last year. But they do excellent work. They all do.
Okay. I move that we accept the bid from Fresh Air for the
We'll notify you to get something in respect to the bid and tell them how they came out on the bid and give them the go ahead to begin on the 1st of June and complete on the last of June. We'll have time to replace the tile at the data and the tarp at the data.
Okay, next is the judgment levy that we have information on.
Yeah, something happened that happened for a while anyway. Mm-hmm.
We've had several of them in the past.
Yeah. Yeah. But county treasurer notified us that, that Canyon Fuel had their value was reduced, and because of that, we have a judgment that the school district is required to refund to Canyon Fuel.
Okay.
And the what's up for consideration is whether we as a school district want to issue a judgment levy to recover that money. Under law, we can do that. It's legal. We would have to notify the county assessor and go through the truth in taxation process. All of that. It's not quite as detailed as if we were doing a total tax rate adjustment or anything like that.
How would that money be recovered through a judgment levy?
They said a small tax rate. Mm-hmm. It's a separate tax rate line than any of the others.
Against property?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It would be a very, very small amount. And we don't have the numbers. We would have to publish in the paper what it would mean to a homeowner of $100,000, and we would do that in truth and taxation, but
it's this year's budget money.
Yes.
That we're currently on, not next year. It's this year's budget.
You don't have an idea.
So when you have these kind of refunds, it's almost automatic to do a judgment levy to keep your budget intact. And the danger in not doing a judgment levy is that the expectation then in the future is if you continue to have these protests, the expectation would be that you let them go, and you can't do that, or you let your greedy.
And the principal amount that we are required to refund is just under $25,000. But also by law, we pay that amount with accruing interest starting on January 1st of this year. So that's already building up. Mm-hmm. Now there are a couple of ways. If we decide we just want to pay it with our own money and not issue a judgment levy, we'd want to do that as soon as possible so that we're not paying any more interest on it. But if we decide to issue a judgment levy, we don't have to pay that amount to Canyon Fuel until the end of the year. We have until December 31st. And so what we would do is we would calculate what the interest would be when we get our property taxes in December, and we would pay that amount. And what I've calculated that as is about $26,200. So
I guess I'm asking is how much per home. Do you know what it would increase the property taxes? You don't
I
know.
Don't even know, but it would be
is
a
it
very
minimum,
small
pennies,
amount.
Pennies, okay.
Pennies, maybe a dollar, but I'm totally guessing that's not.
Alright.
It's not even really an estimate.
Okay.
It would be very
so that
small.
Gives us an idea anyway.
I feel comfortable in moving that we issue a judgment levy. I think we need to do it.
Okay. I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Have we done this in the past when mm-hmm. you've been out?
Yeah, okay. We have always done judgment levies on senior budget protests. We've had some big ones. Mm-hmm.
Oh, there were some huge ones.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I wondered. I can't remember.
I don't know of a school district that hasn't done a judgment levy on the senior budget when they have a tax refund.
Yeah.
It's almost automatic.
Well, and just kind of for your information, there is in the law, there's a $5,000 level. If you're above $5,000, you can issue the judgment levy. If you're below it, you basically have to pay it.
Okay.
We're well above that.
Okay. Appointment of negotiating team members.
We just love
this.
We
do.
Yeah.
That's
why we're
why don't
okay.
we?
It's fine.
It's
already settled.
Well,
not very
much.
You got to
get some input.
Second time. We'll pay
100%
increase
in that revenue.
Tell them all the parents,
saying,
yeah. Is that on the tape?
Well, let's see. Do we want to switch around? I was on classified, I think, class 10. Okay.
I was on certified.
Yeah.
Weren't you?
I was on classified. I was on nothing, I don't think, last year.
Well,
if
you're there,
before I
well, then you're definitely in.
No, I was too. But it was easy. That,
I know,
that's
I was
why
certified.
It was unmemorable.
I think you and I were both certified.
Okay. Okay.
But I don't want to be on either one after having.
Having
that promise made.
Well, I made the offer, maybe you can switch.
Oh, all right. Okay. That would be fine.
Okay. We'll do classified, you and I, then, and would you two be willing to do this?
Sure.
Or we could
Roy and Sam.
Do in. Whatever you.
I don't know. Better ask her.
You might want to ask. Maybe we ought to give him the opportunity if he wants to. Otherwise, we'll put you two there. Okay.
If he can
okay, we'll just do that way then.
Little Laurel and Marie will be classified.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You two going to volunteer for what you want if you have.
Jacob's pretty well an icon on the certified because he's always done it for 10 years. And if he hasn't done it, switch back and forth over there.
You want to do classified?
You can tell us what to do.
Really? Well, tell me what it is. What you mean?
JJ certified, yet classified.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
We need that, do that by motion.
Okay. The motion's in order.
Well, I'll make a motion that we carry it out as we have just discussed.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? We'll get Bill to fun part, the principal's report. Principal Jones, if you'd like to.
Welcome tonight, and we have
little snack for you. If you're going to go into executive session, if you're not,
thank
it's still there.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome to it. First of all, I'd like to thank you for the support you give us all the time. We're having a great year here at Cottonwood. School improvement is an ongoing part of our school. At first glance, it seems like maybe that isn't so complicated, but once you take a look at what really it takes for a good school improvement, it gets kind of complicated. You have to first teach the teachers the kind of tests that they need to give the students, then how to interpret those tests so they can administer the help that are needed. And we are using at the present time EduTest and UTest. There are two testing programs, computer testing based programs that go along with the state court. And from those, teachers can get a pretty good idea of how each student individually is doing compared to each standard and objective on the course. Teachers are also trained in running records, QRI, STAR testing programs, and several other individual testing programs that they use. With that information, an individual literacy plan is developed for struggling students. Students that are doing well, of course, we modify and we adjust and we work with them. But the individual literacy program, where an app is enacted, they might get on board with that. And it includes me and the resource teacher and the classroom teacher. And if they're using any additional aids that work with us there, we bring all that information together and we make a plan up for that each individual student and a diagnosis of what we need to do to help that student improve. And we review that on a regular basis and adjust as necessary and usually it helps us to focus in and we can make some good improvement with students. We have several teachers that are involved this year in the math endorsement program. Lorraine Franson, Lori Latham, Julie Huntington, and Jen Hampton are involved, and I can already see an improvement in the math instruction as I visit the classrooms. Lorraine is also in charge of the STAR Reading program. This is a state-initiated program that Lorraine has had special training with we ask for volunteers from the community. We bring them in and we train them specifically in certain areas of reading that they can help students with that are needing some help on a one-on-one basis. And it's very, very closely at what side of the range. She does it in her resource room, and the parent aides or community volunteers that come in are instructed exactly what to do with students, and in fact, the state has a program that's outlined almost step by step what to say, what to do, and it's showing some great gains statewide. It's not the Emory County, but it's a pretty darn good program, and it's moving on until about its third or fourth year now, so it's really worth doing. And we have three or four good volunteers that come on a regular basis and help us out. Teachers at Cottonwood are continually training in the five specific areas of reading: phonemic awareness, phonics, fluency, vocabulary, and test comprehension. This has also been the focus of our district language committee that I chair, and we bring teachers in from each school in the district and give them training once a month, and they take that training back to their faculties and hopefully administer that to the teachers and their faculties, and so it helps us district-wide. And our scores in language arts have been improving since we've been putting a stronger focus on language arts. Our teachers have all had the training in several literacy helps over the last few years, and basically what we're doing is we're more or less kind of reviewing and talking about different programs that we've already studied in depth, but now we need to really brush up on them and see where we can use them to individually help students. And one program is called Words Their Way. It gives specific help in reading, spelling, and language development. Another program is Strategies at Work, and it's a great resource for teaching comprehension and enhancing understanding. And It helps them read and identify with the text they're reading and make sense of it and help themselves put themselves into the story. Building fluency, lessons and strategies for reading success. This resource is just does exactly what it says. It's a text that helps teachers help students build their reading fluency. And that's not only speed in reading, but it's reading with meaning. And once students can start doing that, then they can start putting those ideas in their mind as a thought. And that really helps in building reading comprehension. Another text that was the first one we looked at several years ago, but it's one of the most important, and it's called Teaching Reading in the Content Area. This book is very complicated. It examines three interactive components of the reading process that influence comprehension. And it's comprehension in the content areas of reading, like social studies and math and science. One of the areas is what the reader brings to the situation, help teachers with that, the learning climate, and the characteristics and features of text. It guides teachers through 40 different teaching strategies that can be used to teach meaningful reading in the content areas. Now, that's most basic. Teaching reading in the content areas is helping learners to make connections between what they already know and new information. We tie all our new learning to what we already know. As students do this, make the connections, their comprehension level starts to improve. And teaching reading in the content area, therefore, is not so much about teaching students basic reading skills, but it's about teaching students how to use reading as a tool for thinking and learning. Usually when a faculty has as many teachers that has taught as long as ours have, in service is something that's kind of hard to usher in. But in this school, teachers are excited about it. We have our youngest teacher has 20 years experience, and our teacher with the most experience has 34. And so if the faculty is in that age range, you wouldn't expect that, but it is, and it's fun. I'm very proud of our teachers in our school. We have five teachers who just recently got their reading endorsement, their level one reading endorsement. Mrs. Laban, Mrs. Nelson, Mrs. Bingham, Mrs. Sampson, and Mrs. Story. And four of those five teachers went on to get their master's degree in reading. All but Mrs. Bingham did. And the reason she never is she already had a master's degree in administration. But for those teachers to put that much dedication into that, it was really, they brought a lot of help to teachers who were in our faculty room to talk about, this student's doing this, I'm just frustrated, what can I do? And it really helped to have more up-to-date training. Our PCO is very supportive and very important for our school and our school-home connection. Under the direction of the school, they are conducting a reading home program, and the students are instructed to read a certain number of minutes a week. Parents sign the student papers, and the PCO records and tracks the student's progress. The student who achieves the goal are rewarded at the end of each quarter. And this way, no matter what level the student is reading on, they can be successful. And that's important. If you're going to have a reading program, it can't be set on a set of books where kids struggle. It's like sometimes I've seen reading programs that say reading book award books, and they're set on the 4th through 6th grade level. If you have kids in even the 6th grade reading on 3rd grade level, they feel very unsuccessful. But this type of reading incentive program, where it's number of minutes read, all students can read, a certain number of minutes. And that's why it's a very successful program. We have four classrooms right now that have smart boards that are connected to computers and have the projectors. And they are set and ready to go, and teachers have had some training and are using them and learning more about them all the time. We have two more smart boards that I think our custodian just moved them, but we just received them this week, and we'll be installing those and ordering one more. And that will put smart boards in every classroom but our kindergarten. And we have one in our computer lab where teachers can use that for instruction also. And I was lucky enough this year, as I was attending the elementary principals to then command the same charge, I want a small board. And so that one, we're going to get in and put it on a movable cart where it can be used as an insert of training tool. And I think that'll be very helpful. The district has adopted an instructional program by Robert Marzano called Classroom Instruction That Works. And I give my teachers periodic in-service training in this program, and then I have them sign up on the calendar which days they would like me to come into classroom and what times. And I go in and they tell me what they're focusing on, what they're working on, and I observe them, and then we get together after and talk about how things went, how they feel about it, where they were comfortable, where they weren't, maybe what they can do, you know, to help. And then when they feel comfortable with that, then we move on to something else. And so we're making progress there. Mrs. Franson is also in charge of our action team. Instead of electing a student council, what we do is we have the 4th through 6th grade students apply with a written application to be on the student action team. And it's a team of students that we divide them in groups of four, evenly, one for each quarter, and draw out of the hat to pick a captain and a co-captain. And the captain and co-captain take charge of the assemblies and lead us in our flag ceremony in the morning and our Star-Spangled Banner. And then they help with our librarian sets up in history. And she sets up every morning we have a program that she puts on and records over with a camera, and it's broadcast over our system to every classroom, and they give a news report and a weather report and tell about interesting facts and different things, and those kids get to have activities in that area. Also, the students that are on the action team, they receive some special training from Lorraine, where they, on the playground, where they help kids that are having difficulties, where they watch the students that are being shunned or any type of bullying that's taking place, and they're instructed on not how to go and take the teacher's role, but they're instructed on what they can do as students to go and say, come play with me, or, you know, something where they help that student feel better and help. And then if there's something that needs to be reported, I've asked them to report directly to me, and I can take care of the more difficult program or problems. They also go, and every time we have an assembly or something like that, those children are assigned, two of them, to each classroom, and they go and help the students walk to the assembly, walk up and sit down, and help monitor with the teacher the kids join the assembly. And sometimes the teacher calls them when they have special projects in the room that they need help with. They need a little extra help with older students, or they might use them as a reading buddy with somebody who's struggling in reading, or whatever. It's a new thing to be on the action team. And the thing about it is, it helps develop a very good rapport between older and younger mm-hmm. students. This year, we've introduced the teachers to a bullying program, a prevention program called Don't Laugh At Me. And it's a very good program that brings us all to the main ingredient in teaching, which I believe is the general love of students. I firmly believe that students can't learn unless they feel safe and protected and loved. I ran across a quote the other day that I'd like to share with you. I shared it with my teachers. If we want to influence learners for good, we should not merely love to teach. We should love each person we teach. We should measure our success by the progress of those we teach, not by the excellence of our performance. If we love first and teach the curriculum second, students will learn, and I guarantee your day will be better. You can see that our school is bought into the philosophy that school improvement is not just a buzzword. It's an important commitment that must be based by those who have the ability, responsibility, and talent to teach. School improvement is important and must be ongoing, and I firmly believe that schools can become a community of learners. School improvement needs to be based on ideas, values, and concepts that are good for students, teachers, and the school. In a successful school, consensus runs deep. It enhances performance, productivity, and productivity of the teachers, and provides full sense and meaning. A true leader must involve all under their direction in the vision of school improvement. An atmosphere must be created where these elements are fostered and understood. Ongoing school improvement, I believe, is the very lifeblood of public education.
Thank you. I think that's phenomenal that they are still that many years in teaching, that they're not getting burned out. They just have the motivation to do, and you can feel it in your school and with your teachers. It's definitely here. We appreciate that. And it's, I think it's always, you always win when you have the older students helping the younger ones. They need that responsibility, and that's a great program, Action Team. Let's have the superintendent's report.
I just have a few information items for you. First of all, I want to congratulate our transportation department of our school district. Talking with Roger Swenson, transportation director, he indicated that Emory School District received recognition from the Utah Highway Patrol. They got what they call a Gold Award for 2006, and there's very few of those Gold Awards given out across the state. But basically, at the beginning of each year, your buses are all inspected by the Highway Patrol, and then they do a surprise inspection at some point during the year to see if the buses are being properly maintained for safety. And our transportation department received the Gold Award for 2006. And I certainly want to congratulate them, and particularly Courtney Guyman, who is the safety inspector mechanic for the school district, who keeps those buses in the shape that he does. And drivers check the buses every day. They're required to go through a checklist, but he's the one really that keeps them maintained, does the safety inspections. And I certainly want to commend him to the board for this award that they received. So I'd report that to you. Extended day kindergarten, we've talked about that during the legislative session. The law did pass. There is an extended day kindergarten program in the state. It was $30 million to be divided over 4 years statewide. Excuse me. We finally got the numbers for our district, which was $57,733 for next year. Well, that's a year for the next 4 years. That's good news and bad news. The problem is, the good news is that we've got $57,732. The bad news is it's not enough to fully fund more than one school. It will fully fund one school. We estimate the cost of the additional teacher to be nearly $35,000. Half a day teachers. Which means that if you add to that additional math and reading supplies and those kinds of things, that it really fully funds one school. We're still in discussion as to where that should be. The law states that the school priority has to go to schools with the greatest need as determined by the percent of students on free lunch. There may be some flexibility in that. We're not sure yet. There's a meeting on May 4th to go over the details. There is no flexibility in the fact that the extended day has to be the same number of hours as the first grade.
Oh, so
you can't extend an hour or so. It has to be at least the same number of hours as your first grade. And we thought maybe we could extend our Title I's all by an hour and a half, but you can't do that. currently, we have the three of our Title I schools that, Huntington, Farron, and Bookcliff particularly would be your three highest in free lunch rates. I think Bookcliff, and then Farron, and then Huntington in that order. What we have to do is an assessment of those kindergarten students to determine where the greatest need is, and then see if what flexibility there is in selection of those schools so that the most students can be impacted. Bookcliff this next year has 16 kindergarten students. I can't remember, Farron, it seemed like around 44, 34. and Huntington 50, just over about 50. But this allows you one extended day session of kindergarten. Unless we can find additional funding, that's what it is. And we haven't figured out where we can come up with an additional $20,000-$25,000. So we're still looking at that, but just to report to you that's the funding that we received, and on May 4th we'll have more information on flexibility. I think what we'd like to do is assess, do a quick summer assessment of all of our Title I kindergarten students, and then look at the greatest need and determine where we would have that extended day session. This is a four-year program. It's one-time money, so it's money that's going to go away unless they fund it again. So,
Chris, is there a provision in there for ESL students?
No.
Oh, okay.
Nope. There's not. It strictly ties it to free lunch.
Okay.
If they added reduced lunch in, it would change the order of our schools.
Mm-hmm.
Free and reduced, Fairland's the highest, then Bookcliff, then Huntington. But with free lunch only, it's really the order is Bookcliff, Fair and Huntington. But again, we need to assess the kids because you have to have, I've got a soda pop, but it isn't helping. Thank you. We need to determine where the greatest need is based on the number of at-risk kids we have. And if there is flexibility in that, we'll look at it. If not, then we'll have to go strictly with the law, and we'll have to see what the state office comes up with as far as rules.
Huntington's going to have at least probably two kindergarten classes.
Probably three, simply because of the high number of ELL kids.
Okay.
We have always tried, if they get 50, 51, we've tried to have three sessions because of the high number of English language learners there. So we're probably looking at three sessions there.
If you have one entire class of at-risk kids, can it be determined?
Well, the problem is it's not a... It's possible that could become your extended day, but they have to go all day.
Mm-hmm.
You only have one session. What you do is you have, for example, a morning session, and then you have a smaller number of students based on the assessments that would stay for the afternoon and have instruction in reading and math.
Okay.
So a certain number of your kids would go all day. The others would only go half a day.
So it wouldn't be all 50?
No. It would be one session of probably 15 kids. 15, 20 students, max. It has to be smaller than your regular classes. It can't be larger. And the majority of the students have to be at-risk students.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I think I sent you a copy of the law itself, mm-hmm. and you can read, read through that. Projected enrollment update, I did include in this packet tonight, not one I mailed to you, but there's two sheets. One is our projected enrollment as of April 2nd. If you notice, our kindergarten number this year is down compared to the past 5 years. We had 159 currently who were enrolled in kindergarten compared to 183 last year, so it'll be in first grade next year. Actually, that number was probably different at the beginning of the year, but currently 183.
Is that really accurate? 159?
That's the number we had registered, yes. That's the actual number. We don't know by the time school starts whether that will go up or down slightly, but it hasn't really changed a lot.
Has it?
Huntington Elementary seems to pick up more students than the other schools over the summer. So we expect Huntington's numbers to go up slightly in kindergarten. The last page is the projected. We've also, and I appreciate Mr. Grant's work on this, we have not only next year's enrollment projection, but we have it spread out to 2013-14 based on current numbers. He has the secondary schools calculated out, not elementary, but secondary. And as you can see, our secondary schools next year will be down 63, and then the following year 46, and then it kind of just evens out for a few years, and then a slight increase. But we're not seeing the big increase that we would hope to have seen with that 3 years of low that we have. So we have been doing a little scrambling on staffing lately to see what we can do there. But this gives you some idea. We haven't projected the elementary because we have no way of projecting kindergarten other than birth rates. And we just have a hard time getting all of that information. So we haven't projected elementary, but we can project secondary based on current numbers. And this year and next year don't look real good, really good for our secondary schools. After that, it kind of levels out. But that might be interesting for you to look at. Yeah, eliminate them, then maybe that helps. No, thanks.
Another problem.
One other thing that I told the Emory High senior class at Emory High has made a request to move graduate commencement exercises at Emory High back into the auditorium. They came to the administration of Emory High with that. We've had that discussion in the past and have felt strongly that when we get to a point that we can accommodate graduation or commencement exercise in the auditorium, that we really ought to do that because it's a better atmosphere for the occasion. They wanted to come and make a big presentation. I probably should have let them just so kids could come, but I told them that I didn't think that the board would have any problem. It's not an action item. I just told them if you had any concerns that I would relate to them, but as a district staff or administration and the high school administration, we feel like that this is probably a request that we could honor based on our numbers. They feel like that they can still provide anywhere from 6 to 8 tickets per student in the auditorium this year, which should be plenty. And it would certainly cut down on the noise and the confusion. And we have had complaints and we've had letters and we've had other things over the years about the Spartan Center and not being able to hear. And so if you have any concerns, let me know. Otherwise, we've given them the green light to move it back to the auditorium.
How long has it been in the...
Been in the Spartan Center about 8 years.
How many students are graduating?
Spartan Center is 10 years old. And it's 97th when we moved into Spartan Center.
So how many kids are graduating this year?
I don't remember.
These are projections. I don't know, JJ, how many seniors. I don't know how many seniors we have this year. 181 next year. You haven't got that broken out. 2007, 2008, you have 157 at Emory High. And it says that down 29, so we're about 186.
I guess we can put the students on the
stage.
Yeah, I think we're all happy about that. No matter what they've tried to do, it hasn't worked.
That's all I have. We do have some executive session personnel issues. But that's all the report I have tonight.
Well, I move we go to executive session for personal items.
Sorry, Jared.
No problem. Those things, we can laugh all the time.
Always.
I forgot. Sorry.
I also wanted to just recognize to the board. I went to the UIFO conference, Jackie and I did, this last week. And I know these are nothing new. But once again, the school district received awards for financial and statistics.
Wow.
And need to recognize that these are for Ross, Jackie, and Carrie's work this last fiscal year. I had nothing to do with it. So
We just expect that of them every year. They do.
They do a tremendous job, and you know, I was kind of wondering myself if these were token awards that they just kind of give everyone, and they're really not.
They're not token awards.
That's amazing.
I could probably count on one hand the districts that got both.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I don't know the exact amount, but there were very few.
Okay.
So these are, they represent good professional work, and just wanted to recognize that to you.
Commend
them for their work.
Great.
So I hope we get
phenomenal.
Next year.
I'll
fill that.
Oh,
yeah, we have to get that in there.
Okay.
We can send, we can email her a little blurb on it.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
That's fantastic.
And included in your packet, just a summary of the new open meeting law.
Right.
Appreciate that. So,
let's keep us in line.
Oh, by the way, speaking of open meeting law, did they bring that up at the USDA regional meeting when we were up there, that they're talking now that school community councils may come under the open meeting law?
Yeah.
They're still investigating that, but if that's the case, that's going to get real scary.
Oh, my.
Based on what I heard at the conference, I think it will be the case.
So the school community council meetings will have to be advertised, agendas posted, and the open meetings and
minutes
kept is the same as school board meetings.
So very formalized.
Very, very formalized.
Awesome.
We're waiting for the final word on it, but it looks like that's going to happen, which is going to, statewide, is going to...
Oh, my.
The stipulation on that is, the way the law reads, if the group has been authorized by the Board of Education, then they have to follow the open meeting law.
Okay.
And what they're saying right now is that community councils are,
mm-hmm.
and so they would be subject to those laws. That's the basis for it.
That will be
interesting.
What else can we get our fingers
in? That's all I have. Thanks, Karen. And we have a motion for executive session. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you all for coming and appreciate your input. Thanks for letting us be here, Dennis. And
yeah.
Not too bad, because I'm comfortable.
Yeah, really?
You guys have got to be hot.
Leighton, how are you?
Oh, cool.
I can't even believe that.
So you get a glaze on the look on your eyes.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Have him take a plate of goodies. And
I was
going
to say,
I'll bet he could.
He just scout.
Yeah.
If he has a garden
or something, he plays community. I don't have
something.
One requirement is to go to a boring meeting and stay awake.
Me?
I think it's probably E-D-O-N is what I think.
How do you spell your son's name, Marie?
Marie? How do you spell your first
name,
Marie?
L-E-D-O-N.
Okay.
Dan's
name is Danny
Lee,
but this is
okay. Oh,
Dan.
Well, Wheaton, you'll get to be in the minutes.
Oh,
you're going to be a star.
Why don't you take a minute and get you some goodies too? Sit back down here before we talk about some